Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Binstown TV. My name is Jim, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Paul and Luke. And today, we continue our coverage of Hulu and FX's Shogun. Today, we cover Season 1, Episode 3. But first, a little Binstown TV housekeeping. If you're listening from our Shogun feed and are not familiar with our other podcast coverage, then we just want to remind you that we cover so many different shows, and we would love to have you as a listener for those as well. We've recently covered True Detective Night Country, Reacher, and Jujutsu Kaisen, and we're currently covering Masters of the Air, the live-action adaptation of Avatar The Last Airbender, and Peacock's The Traitor. So what I'm trying to say is we cover a lot of TV, and we want you all to come for the ride. All you have to do is search Binstown TV on any of your favorite podcast apps or check us out at BingeTownTV.com. All right, guys, we're here. Episode 3. I think this is becoming one of our favorite shows already, so let's just get started and talk about this.
By think, you mean definitely is becoming one of my favorite shows. There's a couple of things I want to just clear at the top here. Some corrections. If this is your second or first time hearing us, we did cover episodes 1 and 2, one podcast, but there are some things that we may have gotten wrong because it's a complicated show, a lot of material. And of course, it's taking place in Japan, 1600s. So there's a lot going on here. So some things that we got incorrect that I just want to make sure that we all have noted. So going forward, we should be better about is the first thing being the difference between the two main religions that are new to Japan, and that being Protestant religion that John Blackthorne follows, and then the Catholic religion that all the Portuguese follow. I think we're sort of mixing up the Christianity Catholicism umbrella, but going forward, we're going to try and clean that up a little bit better. Basically, John Blackthorne is Protestant and everybody else is a Catholic. That's how we're going to view it. And that, of course, doesn't count all the Japanese people that their religion is Buddhism. So that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. And then another thing that I think we got wrong was, and this is my fault, I did not realize who was talking to Yaichio, who is the heir in early episode 1, I think it was. But I said it was a caretaker, but it was actually the widow of the last Taiko. So I don't know how important she's going to be, but it was her because we ended up seeing her in the flashback in episode 2. That was my bad. I completely forgot, and I won't mess that up again. And then the third thing is just I personally read a little bit more about the idea of the concubines for these heads of households, which was really throwing us off when we were talking about who's the wife, who's giving birth to these kids. We cleared some of it up with the heir and Lady Achiba, who is the concubine for the previous Taiko. But that is like a very important cultural aspect for some of these leaders because they don't continue to have their wives have the kids on their behalf, but they have younger people known as concubines to basically give birth to their kids. So that also comes into play, and I'm sure will continue to come into play. But I wanted to shout those out because we're going to try and keep those straight. And then besides that, my only other correction was the disrespect that we gave to Yabu, because Jesus, man, I should have stuck with my guns. I thought there was going to be redemption, and there might not be, but I think the door is open. That's more for the actual episode itself, though, because that's a huge theme for episode 3. And that's what we're covering here. Episode 3, Tomorrow is Tomorrow. And then the last thing I'll do before I open it up to high-level thoughts is I just want to say what the internet is currently feeling about Shogun, and it is beyond my wildest dreams. I'm so happy that it is as universally loved as it currently is, because right now Shogun on Rotten Tomatoes has a 99% from critics, 94% from audience. And then the IMDb ratings for the three episodes in order is currently 8.6, 9.2, and 9.1. So this is like the making of one of the best single season shows ever. And I'm really happy that everybody in on Twitter, Reddit, IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, they're all kind of agreeing with us because this show rocks. The only thing that can take up headspace right now for me besides Shogun is Dune 2, which everybody should go see. This show's amazing. So tell me what you guys thought. How are we feeling after the third episode of our first season?
Yeah, this has quickly become, you know, Tuesday is Shogun Day. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what I get excited for. I wake up and I'm like, I get to watch my favorite show right now at the end of the day. So it's so fun. I mean, episode 3, I feel like it turns our viewpoints on so many characters just on their head. What you were saying about Yabu, I mean, we'll get into it more, but we were like, yeah, he's irredeemable. But like now he's like a bro. He's a homie. So
we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I knew Jimmy was going to have some thoughts about it, but we'll see.
No, it's a lot of fun. And the character's drive and what their goal is has so much to do with what their actions will be. And it's so different for every character. So it's so much fun. I'm loving it. I'm ready to jump back right into episode three.
Yeah, I texted you guys last night. I watched it a little bit later than I wanted to, and I was like, Jesus, I freaking love Shogun. I just had to text you guys. I knew you're probably already asleep, but I just had to say it. I just smile at the whole time I'm watching this show, and I really enjoyed this episode a lot. Like Paul and Luke were saying, just a lot of information given to us on these characters. Very, very good build up of certain characters, learning a lot more about them. There were some shocking things that happened that I wasn't expecting that we'll talk about. And going further into the visuals, again, my goodness, these visuals are unbelievable, especially see the scenes where they're showing the black ship on the water and a lot of those scenes. Ridiculous. So let's just get into it. I'm ready to talk. Let's go.
Okay, so this coverage is going to follow closer to our format for the second episode on the last podcast, where it's mostly just one bucket. There's not too much jumping around. There are two scenes I'm going to point out that don't necessarily flow directly with Torunaga or JB, aka John Blackthorne. Also, I saw on Reddit that people referred to Yabushigi as Yabu, so we can completely feel comfortable
Oh,
taking that. That seems like a community nickname.
nice.
Yeah, so I love that. That was a good catch, Paul.
Well,
And
good
then
job, Paul.
lastly, I got to rebump the Discord again, and then specifically for Lanson 50, if that pronunciation's right. He's the man. He's been commenting and talking with us a lot, and I really appreciate his insight. So if you guys want to talk more after the podcast in between episodes, definitely go over to our Discord. I check that thing every day, a couple times a day. It's so fun to just interact with the community. So with that being
Agreed.
said, let's jump into the episode three, and I'm going to actually cover one of those isolated scenes because it'll help us flow through the rest of the episode. And the first isolated scene that doesn't have Torunaga or JB in it is going to be taking place on the ship with the Portuguese priests, specifically Father Martin. And I believe the other father's name, which they sometimes say Father Visitor, they just always call him Father, but I believe it's Father Del Agua. Aqua? I don't know how to really say that, but they're having a conversation. And they're speaking with Captain General, who, again, they don't really specify the captain of the black ship's name, but they keep calling him Captain General. So do you either of you guys know his name? Did you write it down? Because I don't think they say it.
They don't. The only reason I had it written down was because that if you watch in subtitles, it says it episode two as he's barking orders. That being said, I have to go find it in my notes,
I think
so
it's
I don't know.
Ferreira. Does that sound right?
Ferreira. Yeah.
Ferreira?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just gonna keep calling him Captain General just because that's a cool title.
Cool.
So this whole conversation is just them really deciding what to do here. And they're actually telling Captain General that he can't leave. He's not getting Torunaga's blessing to leave with the black ship. And he just says, screw it, walks outside with Rodriguez, says, we're leaving tonight because we work for the crown, not for Portugal, which is an important distinction. He doesn't care as much about the religion aspect of it. And that's like his alliance is basically to money and the crown. So that's going to come into play for the rest of the episode, but I just wanted to call out that scene real quick, and now we can jump into the actual top of the episode, unless you guys had a comment on that.
Yeah, give me one second. I know his actor, and it's pissing me off.
Oh yeah, you mentioned that off pod, I think, that you recognized him.
He's in Westworld, but he's one episode of Westworld. He's in something else. I know it.
It's like
Ah,
I have a
yeah,
million
he's in
ducats.
Breaking Bad.
Who is he?
He's
That's a
the guy
good.
on Breaking Bad when they're doing the deal with Walter White when he's Heisenberg, and it's the famous meme where he's like, "Say my name."
No
You're
way.
goddamn right. Yeah, that's the guy he's talking to. So yeah, well,
Oh.
I knew I recognized him. I can't believe I didn't get that.
That's kind of epic. That's awesome.
Rodriguez in this scene is like, yo, dude, if we leave without permission, we're never coming back. And he's like, you know what? Fuck it. We don't work for them. Screw it. So even Rodriguez is worried about it.
Big
And
Rodriguez episode.
yeah, he learns that the pilot is still alive and he's like, that
That's what I
fucker's
was just gonna
still up
say.
there.
Okay, so let's take it from the top. And this is going to take place right after the assassination attempt on JB from episode two. And more specifically, the ramifications for Yabu. And like from his perspective, he's getting summoned by Torunaga, who's really trying to investigate and prod a little bit here. And he's like in the process of writing his will. Like I think he thinks he's about to be executed for his part in this whole assassination attempt. But I like that they quickly just give you extra world building about this secret society of Amida, which are assassins that are sworn of the Buddha Amida. I don't really necessarily know what that means, but you can just take it as like a assassin religious group that is very, very skilled. And shout out to our Game of Thrones comparisons when I'm gonna say the Faceless Men. So I know people hate
Yeah, damn right.
that
It's
comparison.
crazy though that they're literally trained to be assassins, and then they may just be a maid in deep undercover for years and years and for one kill, and she failed.
That's got to be like your life's purpose. You messed up. That's got to be brutal for her as she's bleeding out.
But that explains why she was able to kill so many people
Oh,
so
yeah.
efficiently. Like, that actually cleaned up my idea of, like, can people just be that good? But
Yeah.
it makes a ton of sense. She was trained her whole life for that moment. And of course,
Right.
Torunaga is going to assume and start asking about Yabu, who had all these coincidental timings in a lot of things, especially around JB. So he's putting the pieces together. He's thinking he's sketchy, and that's what this whole conversation's about. And it's actually awesome because Torunaga is not as cutthroat as, like, we kind of assumed, or I assumed from the first two episodes. And he was actually willing to hear out his quote unquote old friend and give him a chance to really lay all the cards on the table and get to, like, what his true motivations were, which he kind of explains is to expand his fiefdom. And that's what a lot of people that are going for power are doing in this time period. So Torunaga doesn't seem to hold it against him, but he will keep that in the back of his head. He will have less trust for it. But it was just a really good conversation between these two to show you that Torunaga is willing to use any tool in the toolbox that presents itself to him.
I loved this. Just the way that Torunaga says, aren't you my reliable friend? Like, why would I want to end your life today? Just the way he talks, everything in his mind is proper etiquette. It's don't reveal your true thoughts at all. I just love it. And he immediately says right after, how much was the price for my head? Like, what was he offering you? And he was like, oh, your seat on the council. Yabu doesn't want that. He just wants a little area to rule over.
All right. This goes back to, and we're going to be talking about this all episode, just like with me and Martine in the last episode, when it comes to, like, how you're seeing people through a certain lens and how you're going to take things. Did you guys take it like, I mean, he's obviously working with a Shidu and he walks in thinking he's going to be dying here. Now that our boy is able to understand that. In his head, he's like, yeah, he's probably working with a Shidu, but I can maneuver this to at least have him on my side for now. I'm going to keep him alive. He gets what he wants. Yabu gets what he wants, but he is still not for Torunaga. Like, he's using this scenario to get what he wants, and he's happy that Torunaga is going to give him what he wants. But really, he would have took Torunaga's seat on the council.
I think it's just opportunity is what all he cares about, and it's not deeper than that. Like, I don't think he cares who wins if it's a Shido or Torunaga. He just cares about not dying and coming out on the other side, because that seems to be how I took his conversation with his nephew Omi from the first ep or the first episode, and now it kind of plays out. Once Torunaga escapes being a prisoner, he can actually be Team Torunaga if it works out. But he has that weird line with the promise is that he's going to keep for Ishido. That's coming up. I still think he's playing both sides, but I don't think he's just going to be anti-Torunaga no matter what.
No. Yeah. So what I'm getting at is that, again, we talk about the schemer. He took the opportunity to figure out that he's going to be kept alive and he's going to get what he wants from Torunaga's side of things. So he's back on Torunaga's side for now. But if Torunaga was killed in this assassination attempt, even though it obviously wasn't for him, it was for JB, Ishido was going to offer the council seat, if that's true or not, to Yabu, and he would have said, hell freaking yeah, I'm on your side, homie.
I think it's more to or say the cliche line, it's not personal, it's just business. Like, he doesn't really care like whose side it's on. And I don't think Torunaga is gonna be like, oh, you were actively fighting against me, but I'm not gonna hold it against you because now you're on my team, right? So for now at least. That's how I'm
Well,
viewing it.
yeah.
And yeah, Yabu could jump back and forth. I really, really
And
don't know.
Torunaga, we'll get to it, but he finesses the hell out of Yabu. I just
I just
We'll
like all
talk
the
about it.
character work that they did with Yabu and John with the whole cliffside. Like, I thought all of that laid the groundwork for them to be able to work together in the future. And we were calling that out on the last podcast, and that seems to be the direction that they're going to go in. Like, they're going to train the soldiers up together. So it's going to be really fun to see him, and I hope he gains even more respect for John and just sticks on the good side. That's really my hope now. I'm just rooting hard for Yabu to be a good guy. But anyway, let's just keep going. A lot of this conversation is going to rehash itself as soon as Ishido enters the scene, because I'm going to bucket these next couple of scenes together as everything up until the plans start to spread where they're going to leave Osaka and they're going to get their whole parade together. And then everything up through them going through the double check by Ishido. That includes John's acting, Blackthorn's acting scene. That includes the funny little warlock scene that JB has with Mariko. All of that, like everything, including like Ishido showing up and then checking the different vessels to make sure that they're not holding Torunaga and he's not escaping. So whatever you guys want to start with talking there, worth bringing up, go for it.
The Mariko JB scene while he's getting healed and he keeps calling the healer a warlock was just so funny. He was like, oh, and he's going to, you know, let my blood, right? And, you know, say a curse or remove the poison. She's like, dude, what the hell are you talking about?
She's like, what is a warlock?
Yeah. He also, JB got that line off from Mariko again saying like, oh, like, were you able to finally see what those priests are capable of now? Kind of maybe not flipping the switch entirely, but making some progress on that Mariko trusting the, you know, Catholic priests aspect of all that. And just the way that she talks about like pillowing and how JB turns that into like, oh, this guy's a pimp. Is just money. Yeah. Like their comedy in the show is so funny, but it's like nobody's laughing in the show, right? Like it's all just for the viewer. It's so funny.
Cosmo Jarvis has been doing really well with his like weird voice. I mean, I read something online about how he was going to make it an even different voice where it's going to be even more like quote unquote weird, but just the way like he has his mannerisms and his responses, and obviously we get to some more hilariousness in the scenes with the two ships and the two boats. But yeah, the back and forth with Mariko and him was hilarious. And again, it's just adding more chemistry between the two of them. And we get even more chemistry later on.
No,
they're banging.
Yeah, seriously, they're leading to that. But talking about a super unfunny scene, how about when Hiramatsu brings Fuji the ashes of her husband and her son, and he gives a whole speech about, you know, now you have a greater fight that you need to take part in. But he was kind of winding that into the story of her father's samurai swords and how they fought together in Korea. Do you think that he was just using the swords as that tool to get across his point, or do you think those are going to come back?
I think that was to get across his point, but it also re-emphasizes what Torunaga said, where Fuji's dad was very honorable, right? I think they I think they put a lot of respect on his name. And this is actually super sad for Hiramatsu, because now at the end of this episode, both of his sons are dead. We don't know if he has any more. And I actually am happy we really got to highlight what's his name? Buntaro, which is actually his nickname, because he's actually not it's like Hirokatsu, I think, is his actual name, but we're gonna go with Buntaro. And I like how they layered him in this episode, and a lot of this conversation comes from these couple of scenes here, because like, he's an asshole. We hated him already from the first two episodes, and we continue to hate him every time he interacts with women or children. But it is cool that they're throwing some respect on his name as like a badass samurai, and we get to see that. And the fact that, spoiler alert, he dies later and frees up Mariko to be single, almost like a full all around just win. Like we get a little bit of respect for this asshole, whatever. And now he's dead. We don't have to even like talk about him anymore. And so there's just, I feel like, a lot of wins, but Hiramatsu has a rough family. Like the fact that he is the one that's alive and he's so much older and both of his kids are already dead. Like Japan has like a crazy history of like all these wars. And it just sucks that it's just so like embedded in these different families. But back to your question, like, I don't know if the samurai swords are actually going to come back. I think it was more just like a powerful moment for Fuji and her grandfather.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Great acting from Fuji's actress with the crying, and then like the camera panning into her eyes as she's crying, but also like looking like she's going to have some revenge or something, man. She was like very determined.
I was nervous she's gonna grab the sword and try to do something she should.
Hey man, we saw Mariko with the spear,
dude. We'll
Fuji
get
might
to
be
that.
Able to slay but, some bitches.
My god, she just like the coolest character in the show.
She's awesome.
Let's take it to the outside part of leaving Osaka right before Ishido comes in. We're starting to get the plan here, or I guess it's as this scene progresses, we're seeing the plan through JB's eyes. But Yabu has the badass armor. I like the whole army's like look. Like it just looks so freaking cool. And they're all gearing up with the whole idea is that they're going to leave Osaka by going to the port, take the boats out, and then go back to Edo, which is the home base for Torunaga and his family. So that's all happening here. We see Lady Kiri, she's involved. Lady Shizu, who is, I think, the pregnant concubine for Torunaga. And correct me, is that Yes, okay.
Yep, that's how I
She's
took it.
com
Yep.
yep, and she's in on the plan too. She's going to use her pregnancy as like a distraction. So all of this really comes together, and I thought this was awesome because you love to see when Torunaga schemes, and it's great that they tell us a bunch. Like Mariko even says later and talks about his backstory, how he learned the game like super early because he was a prisoner. But seeing it in action like this quickly and just quick on his feet type of thing, like all of this was great for me. I really loved it, and they did it perfectly because they waited until Ishido shows up and checks all the spots, and then he sees with the Lady Kiri in there and was like, okay, and then the pregnancy happens, and then they do the switch. So like it was basically like everything was good until the part two of the checks. But from that first part, was there anything besides? And I guess I want to shout out Nagakado, who is the name of Torunaga's son. He gets some highlights here too.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that Torunaga is so secretive about his plan. His son Nagakata didn't even know. Like he's talking to Yabu saying like, "Oh, yeah, my father's not even coming. He's staying behind." So one, he trusts nobody. He's kind of getting into that game of friends and enemies that he's trying to tell his son about later on. But just the setup too, because Lady Kiri just coming down, being like, "Oh, I'm just a slow old woman. Like, give me my time." All a show because she runs away so Tornada can jump in, and she's obviously quick and nimble and silent about
Hell
it too.
yeah.
So everything was just perfect. I had no idea what was going on. Just a quick shout out to Buntaro again. He's just being a dick to his son who comes out to Mariko and is like, "Oh, like please don't go." And
An
that
awful
makes me,
shout out to
yeah.
him.
That and he's like, "Oh, don't be such a suckling child." So just this Buntaro's warrior mindset coming in again. But that makes me super nervous that Mariko's son is staying behind. After all this goes down, episode four, I'm like, "Oh shit, he's either gonna die or be used as a hostage or something terrible." And I
But
really.
how much power or leverage is that even like over Torunaga? Like, does he care about
So
Mariko's
that would
son
be
that much?
technically Hiramatsu's
Grandson.
great grandson? No,
No,
grandson,
because
right?
grandson's
Mixing
Mariko
myself
is
up.
married to Buntaro, who is his son.
Yes. Okay.
But if you're worried about the son, or Hiramatsu's grandson, you should also be worried about Hiramatsu, who we know is still stuck in the capital. So
Yep.
that's the leverage on Torunaga. I don't
He
think.
can handle himself.
True, but like I don't think
I
Torunaga would do anything to get Mariko's kid back.
don't think he would get anything for Hiramatsu back at this point.
Probably
I
not.
felt like
Yeah.
that was just taking that as an L, unless he can escape.
They're all about duty, man. Just like Buntaro when he salutes him right before and bows to him before he goes to his death. It's part of the plan. And I guess we're jumping ahead here, but Hiramatsu seemed to be able to handle himself, and it looked like it was a way where it's not like Ishido can be like, seize him. You know, I don't know if they can actually do that without it being a huge problem.
He even says here, like Hiramatsu, as Ishido comes up to like check everything, Nagakata is like making a scene, like, "Oh, you can't do that. They're not prisoners." And he's like, "Oh, Lord Ishido, you honor us by showing your respect." He's playing the honor, Hiramatsu, that is, he's playing the honorable role. Even later on, he even says, like, "Well, I fear that you only have four people." Like
He's
the way
being
he
like
talks.
cheeky and fake, like,
Yeah, exactly. Like, I
But
feel like
also, yeah,
that's his
proper.
only hope is to like kind of get out of there just because everybody respects him.
Yeah. He's
Yeah.
great, man. I love Hiramatsu. I just want no more tragedy to happen to him and his family because he's dealing with a lot going on here. But he's, you know, at the end, he's sort of as good of a place as have we seen in the series with Torunaga being safe. But let's keep going here because they do that first initial check, and then we'll just keep talking about the really funny check where JB and Mariko noticed that Torunaga did the switch and he's aware. And then Ishido had that secondary plan of at the gateway to leave Osaka officially and start heading to the port. We're going to recheck. And JB starts freaking out. And I love this because he doesn't want Torunaga killed or like anything. He wants this plan to go because he hates whatever's going on in the capital and he wants to just escape Japan, like he was telling Rodriguez. I'm not going to die here. So he wants to get out. He'll do whatever. And he thinks his best way to getting out is to making sure Torunaga's safe. He puts on his best dumb barbarian actor face and just crushes. It was like laugh out loud funny, some of these things that he was saying. He's like, "You shame women in this country." Like all this stuff was so good. And you know, it turns out pretty well here.
I mean, it was
Unholy
perversion, just screaming with spittle coming out of his mouth.
Yes.
It was crazy because him and Mariko were the only ones that understood what was going on, and he says to her, like, "No one's gonna do anything." Well, nobody freaking knows it's a problem. You know, nobody knows that what this plan is. So Torunaga, I love thinking about this from his point of view because he's. Can you imagine, like, the door opens and he's like, "Oh shit, you got me, bro!" Like, you
Damn.
obviously would have to think that he's just gonna come out swinging. He's sitting there like shitting his pants, probably, and JB saves his ass. And obviously, we get to later parts of the episode where he gets this huge honor for Torunaga. Well, this starts it right here. I mean, episode two, they gain some respect, and especially at the end when he thinks he's saving him from the assassin, even though Torunaga already took care of her. That's the start, and then this one really cemented it because, again, Torunaga would be fully dead if it wasn't for JB.
JB was the only one that could do anything. One, because like you said, there's only like a handful of people that even knew this witch happened. And two, if Mariko steps out of line and starts doing something, she's just gonna be killed. Like, done and done. Like, anybody who isn't this heretic barbarian, like, would just be out of line and killed right there. So JB knew he was the only outlet.
And it's to his advantage that he's like yelling all this crazy shit and they have no idea what he's saying.
Right.
So if they knew what he was saying, he'd be like, "Who gives a shit what you're saying, bro?" But because they're like, "What is he saying? What the hell is this bullshit? Like, this is crazy." They're trying to figure it out. It's adding time to get to the point where later they're like, "All right, just move ahead. Ishida wants you to move ahead." Like, they get to that luck. He just bought them time and it was just perfect. It was so good.
Two things real quick.
So many good quotes.
So many good quotes. One, on the first time I watched this, I swear the scene was like 4 minutes, 5 minutes long. I was like, well, he's freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna get caught. On the second rewatch, it
Yeah.
was done in like 45 seconds. And I was like, really? That was it? So it was just, I guess, painful to watch the first time. Still hysterical. Jimmy, you hit on this earlier. This is when Jozen and Yabu talk real quick, and Yabu has a line. He's like, I must serve my pledge to Torunaga, but tell Lord Ishida that I keep my promises. I don't
Yes.
know what if he was saying, oh, I tell Ishida I keep my promises just to be safe on the march, or if he is really playing both sides. I really don't know. I really don't
He's
know.
playing that game, baby.
Thank you for calling that out because that was a very important line. I'm happy we discussed it. And Jozen, if you just don't know, is Ishido's just right-hand man in this episode. I don't know how high up in the clansmen he is for Ishido, but he's important there. I'm still on team. He's just gonna go who with whoever's feeding him at that moment, right? And it will eventually turn to JB fully turning him onto Torunaga's side, is my prediction of how this will go. And I think as they get work close together, just like Torunaga has throughout this episode, when you're working with JB, you're gonna realize he's a good dude and he's the guy you want to be hanging out with. So that's where I think that whole thing is going.
You are a silly little man, and your hair looks like a tail of a pony.
That's such a good line.
And
And he
then he
even
turns to Mariko. He's like,
apologizes.
"Sorry what I said."
But okay, so let's do this. This is going to be a fun little action scene that we get to talk about because there hasn't been too much action for this show with filled with samurai, but we really get into that for episode three and specifically this part, which is skipping ahead. It's nighttime, walking to the woods. They're almost at the port, and they get jumped by one of the Catholic councilmen, Kiyama, who is only into the religion, if you remember, for greed and ambition. So that's what he uses the religion for. But he's there, not knowing that Torunaga is being secretly transported. And his whole thing is he just wants to kill the heretic of the religion. He'll do whatever. Fuck Ishido's men. He doesn't care if they die as what's the word I'm looking for? As a collateral
Collateral.
damage. Yeah, exactly. And so all this is happening, and Jimmy already brought it up. Like, Mariko steps up, she's slicing necks. Torunaga gets a couple kills. Everybody shines, and I hate to give the flowers, but Buntaro kills it as well. Yeah.
I was starting to love Buntara this episode. I was like, this guy is just straight warrior, and Mariko
Horrible
and
dad.
JB. Yeah, horrible dad.
Horrible dad, horrible husband.
Yeah,
Yeah.
straight anime character.
Horrible person, probably, but.
Yeah. They talked about it a little bit, like as it's dark, Mariko and JB are like, "Oh, you what's your family? Oh, he's your husband." That's when they kind of start getting into a little bit of that talk. And even Mariko says like he is a very respected and strong warrior. And I was like, "All right, let's see it." And my God, he showed it. With the longbow, he was picking off people left and right. Even with everything going on, Jozen's men are now yelling, like, oh, Torunaga, it was hiding the whole time. He's trying to escape. Buntaro doesn't swap sides. He respects his leader and everything like that. And it just adds so much to his final scene, which we'll get to. But what they did with his character, for me personally, I was like, I have no idea how to feel about this guy because I respect him so much, but I hate how he acts to everybody.
I completely agree. And that's why he's a good character. He's well written because he makes you feel conflicted. Do you even feel comfortable saying you like him? Like, who knows? But yeah, there's different aspects of him that are awesome and then others that suck. I think we can all agree on that.
More pluses for JB because he's the one who literally again starts running for Tornaga to let him out and to save him. And obviously, we just said it for the third time. Mariko grabs a spear. They're all helping out. This is like everything you could have asked for from Toranaga because earlier in the episode, and we'll get to a little bit more later, he's just using his scheming and his brain and his tactics to the max. Shows us how good he is making this whole entire thing. The only thing that he messed up, quote unquote, he planned everything to the T and it went exactly to plan except for the second check, which JB saved him from. But then we said last episode, we haven't seen him throw down really yet. Now we saw him save himself from the assassin, but now he comes out and he starts wielding that sword, baby, and he is taking people out.
His son Nagakata, he got confronted by Jozen earlier saying like, oh, you haven't even seen battle, you don't know what you're doing, dude. He steps up and slices and dices right away. Like, he was not afraid, and he actually had, it shows he has some skill and training. So I just love the Toranaga family and lineage. Oh god, so cool.
Probably should have said this too. You get a quick info drop from JB and Mariko before the fighting starts that he does have two kids, Tudor and Lisbeth, but we don't get more details. We'll expand on that conversation when it happens later. So after the fight happens, you see Ishido's messenger man get away, which he eventually delivers all of this Toranaga information to him, and that literally plays out in these next two scenes. So let's just keep going. When they finally arrive to the port, and luckily JB sees Captain Sama, who I don't have his name either, and I hate to mix it up with Captain General of the Portuguese, but this is Captain Sama. That's what JB calls him, so I'm gonna stick with it for now. But this is the crew that he helped save Rodriguez with. He was like sailing with them, so he already has that built-in trust, and they like him. But it all results in them seeing the black ship out on the sea, and they're all gonna just try and leave. They're just trying to get out of Osaka, and that was the whole goal of this journey. This is a really cool part we're gonna keep talking about Buntaro for, because this scene was freaking amazing when they have to go. They don't have an option. They all jump on the rowboats, the entire party of people jump on the rowboats, and they just missed picking up Buntaro, who was trying to distract people. And he has like the coolest scene of all time of him just realizing he's gonna die. He murders six people before turning and talking to Toranaga and basically bowing like his respect and showing that he's gonna fulfill his duty. And then I just got so many chills when Toranaga stands up and like gives him his flowers too, and just like everything about that scene just screamed like high level respect of a high lord in Japan in the 1600s, and it was just so perfect. And then it ends with him running into the crowd, which do we all think he's alive?
I don't
Because he's
know.
gonna
Dead.
die.
I think he's dead, but we didn't see
He's
it.
super dead, but
So
we didn't see it. It's
we didn't
true,
see
but there's
it.
no ways. I don't know how like how much they want to get into like the drama of things, but like I could see later in the season like JB and Mariko like being more of a thing, and then he shows up like I'm not dead, and it. But I don't know. I think he's dead. I feel like that is a perfect way to kill him off.
I'm in. I honestly thought he was gonna do seppuku right there before charging. Like I thought he was just gonna take his own
I
way out,
thought
but it
so too
makes
when he
more
took the
sense.
knee.
Yeah, but he got to take a couple more bodies. That was probably better for his fiefdom. So yeah.
Distracted him and everything.
I was trying not to shed a tear, honestly, when Toranaga stood up and bowed and Bontaro just bowed back. I was like, there's so many emotions going through so many different people right now. Like, Mariko has to watch her husband, even though she didn't really like him. She still, like, she respects him. Maybe she does like him. I don't freaking know. She has to watch him die. Even JB's like, we got to go back. And when JB was doing his whole act about trying to stop the inspection of finding Toranaga, at the very end, Buntaro was like, this is who we're fighting for? Like, this fucking weird guy? But it doesn't matter. He was the one in the middle of the woods where he's like, you guys hurry to the ship, I'll stay here and hold them all off. He was the one that called and made that. So he doesn't even like what he's fighting for, but it doesn't matter because Toranaga is his lord and he will do whatever. And the absolute respect that they had for each other, maybe that explains why he's so tough on his son, because he's like, if my son's ever going to be like me, he's never going to be able to, like, he's got to get rid of that childish shit. So maybe that's why he was acting like that. But he is such a good character. I loved it so much. He's so skilled. Maybe he did kill those 30 people, and we'll see him, you know, swimming ashore next episode.
Dynasty
But
Warrior, he just slices through every single one of them. Just,
yeah, exactly. But I just needed to gush on him because this scene was something else. I absolutely loved it.
Would you say like you like relate to deadbeat dads? Like with like that's what you aspire to be in the future?
If it means I can fight like that, maybe.
Butler is Mariko. Okay, that works.
yeah. Huey and Peach are my kids. Those are my cats, by the way, for those listening. I love the character. I hate that I
No,
loved him so much.
I'm with you, man. And I didn't think about that. And I didn't have that opinion until this episode, which is cool because I thought I was so set in my ways about him. And then he turns it all around in one episode. So, okay. So, this next grouping of scenes is going to be our last like long conversation because it's going to cover a lot. It's just going to be them going out onto the sea and they're actually going to interact with the black ship and every and Rodriguez and Captain General, like all of this, like the parlay, them deciding that JB has to stay behind, the whole deal that they make, everything up until them escaping, which I know that's a lot to cover, but a lot of it's action, intense, just moments. So we could talk about whatever you guys want to start with, but just yeah, black ship and everything about them escaping Ahsoka.
The deal. I had no idea what the deal was going to be. I thought they were going to be fucked. I thought Tornaga was going to have to like give up a lot more. But I guess when you get 10,000 tail, I don't even know what that means, silver pieces and investing in the silk trade is, it's not like, hey, you get 5,000. It's you get all of this to invest. And how well you invest, you'll get half the profit. For the church in Edo, you know, Martine was like, oh my God. Oh my God, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. So that was perfect. I'm sure he had that in his back pocket the whole time. He was like, I got that whenever I need it. The deal itself, Toranaga, you know, both parties got a good deal.
Yeah, and you like you knew the Captain General had the leverage in this moment, and he was like, "Dude, I don't even care about your permission at this point. Like, you're not getting out of here without me. Like, you have to come with a sweeter deal." So he kind of played it correct, I would say, the Captain General, where he's like, "I'll take you out of the barricade if you do that for me." So it all worked out. But I guess the question for Martin, and I want to pose it to Jimmy because we really got into the Martin stuff
I was going
in
to jump
episode
in anyway.
two.
Yeah.
I feel like you were more right after him being willing to lie, not lie, but imply that they would help Toranaga, which is what the other father said to do. Like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to actually use our religion to force the other two councilmen to do what Toranaga wants. Like, we're not going to do that. But you can let on and imply that we are going to, and Martin doesn't push back. So I was disappointed, and I think you're kind of right,
Well,
Jimmy, that maybe Mariko was what was keeping him in check in the first translation scene, because maybe he is willing to cross some lines just to get the job of bringing Catholicism to Japan.
that is so funny that you say that because I was going to jump in and say I was almost turning the other way.
No way. No way. That's so
So
funny.
wait, let me just explain because I think it to me it definitely cements that the other priest is our bad guy in that religion, right? Martin or Martine, he definitely, like we said, no matter what, he cares most about the religion, right? He cares most about what's best for Catholicism. I still do think, though, now after watching that scene, that he did feel uncomfortable because I think the one thing that the other priest did say is like, yeah, we can imply that kind of thing, but he also said like, we can't tell them to be on Toranaga's side, but we can like have them prey on it and they might think themselves that they should join Toranaga. I don't know. Like I yes, he did quote unquote lie, but at the same time, I thought that in this negotiation scene, he was again seemingly the one that was more honest, and it was the other priest that was pushing him towards the not so good side of things.
I see that. So it seems like I was super far to Martin's pure. You were super far to he's probably
We're meeting in
not.
the
And
middle
yeah,
somewhere.
now we're back. Yeah, we're closer to the middle. And I actually think I might have oversold it where I don't truly think he was being like manipulative here, but he didn't Like Father Dell
Yeah, he didn't
was
fully say
saying,
like, bro, no, I'm not doing that shit. Yeah. But
exactly. And then
again,
they go on to say, like, we're still gonna hold him to that church even after he's dead, even if he dies. So, like, you're right, Father Dell is the enemy, and Father Martin has redeeming qualities, especially because Mariko's on our side, and that seems to be like a pressure point for him that we could maybe kind of use that to get his morals in Torunaga's favor. But I do love like Torunaga being a genius and really trying to focus on using the religion to sway two-fifths of the councilman to his side so he has the majority. But
Let me ask you guys this question. In this negotiation, it looks like we're getting that money, right? We're doing the damn thing. It's working out for both sides. But then the ship captain basically says, JB, you're not coming, right? So you would think that's a big L, but then Torunaga, without the leverage, basically has to say, like, sorry, bro, you're out to JB. He was basically accepting the fact that he was going to move forward without JB because he didn't know what JB was going to be the freaking man and outrace them and save his life, right? So is it this moment that he was going to get assassinated that he decided, like, okay, it's time to start this war? Because in episode one, he was like, if we go to war, we don't have enough people. It's not good. It's not going to work out. And then in episode three, he's hiding himself. He's ready to roll out of Osaka and he's ready to start the war. Like, I thought it might have been JB was the thing that changed things. But if he was willing to lose him, was it just like, hey, I was about to get assassinated? Well, actually, it wasn't even him getting assassinated. It
No,
was JB. So I don't.
I really think the whole thing comes down to the fact that he was a prisoner in Osaka, so it didn't necessarily matter what his end game plan was. But once he decided that they were going to impeach him regardless of what happened, there was no way out where he wasn't going to get murdered by the other four councilmen. And he saw his opportunity to escape. I think in the back of his head, if he's like, if I get out of here and live, like the power fight's going to happen regardless. And I think he just leaned into it once he realized there was a way out, like this whole plan. And like there was no other option. It was either die or go to war. So
So,
even if he wasn't outwardly showing that he was going to go to war before the assassination attempt, I think in the back of his head he was like scheming and plotting to that's the only option
yeah, he
that's
knew it
being
was going to
presented.
happen at some point. Okay. And then to him, JB is a plus, but he's not a do or die, I guess,
Yes,
because
and
he
then
obviously had to accept the fact that he lost him.
right, there was no way around that. He was going to be sad about it, but I think what slightly remedies like that feeling was them presenting the logbook and saying this is proof of his crimes, which if he didn't have to do anything about it, he was just going to be like, okay, I mean, like whatever, like I wasn't going to say no to this deal regardless. And in the end he even says like, I don't really care about the logbook, like it's going to take us so long to translate this, which I thought that was freaking awesome. So I think he was just allowing them to think that they were really forcing his hand when it wasn't really gonna. JB was not gonna be a deal breaker for Torunaga living or not. Like he wasn't gonna risk his life to keep him alive.
I think he wanted him for what he's like got into, where he wanted him to train his men about, the way he fights and war tactics like that. But like Luke is saying, it was never a deal breaker. Getting out of Osaka, obviously alive with his people, number one, JB was just like a source of information.
This is where a lot of the best banter for the episode comes, when it's just JB and Rodriguez. Like when they first pull up, they're
So
like this, they
good.
have such good banter. But the second time they pull up, which is the second half of the scene after Torunaga and Mariko tell JB he has to stay behind with the crew, and JB's like, fuck that, we're going. Like we're gonna ride this out.
Yeah.
And like the
Fuck
coolest,
this.
it was the coolest way ever. But when he rolls up, and I think I wrote the quote down, but when he
I
rolls
got
up and he
it
just says, like, you black-eyed son of a shit-fested whore, like it's just so funny.
if
They're
you need
back
it.
and forth because Rodriguez, is just loving the drama. And he was like giving that smirk. Like he's listening to the black ship captain, but he also is happy that JB's not giving up and like he's not just going to surrender. So, and then this leads to one of the coolest chases and just, tension-filled moments of the episode of them actually letting JB and the crew through the blockade. And then Rodriguez makes the personal decision to repay the debt, which I think completely saved his character. I was worried that he wasn't going to do it, but
Dude,
then when he did, I
so
was just
good.
like, yo, Rodriguez is a top three character of the show, without a
Yeah.
doubt.
Hell yeah. How's your leg? How's your mother? She's dead. Oh,
That's
sorry.
sad.
Okay. But yeah,
So
Rodriguez,
good.
I when he, he's getting the 5 points to port and all that, he's getting the orders and he's doing it. I think the one order where he's like, turn harder, 5 more points. He's like, that's gonna damage the hull. Like, is this really what we want to do? So he doesn't respect his captain in that way, right? Like, his captain gave him his order, he didn't listen. Buntaro, on the other hand, he doesn't give a shit. He'll fucking fight for his, just to go back to him. But I think it was a mix between the
Get off his
two.
ass, dude.
I love him, but I think it was a mix between the two of wanting to repay JB, but also not wanting to damage the ship, knowing that it wasn't the right call. So it was like kind of both together. And I need them to be bros. I need them to be on the same team and just, you know, fighting together.
Same.
Yeah. I got two things that I want to say about this whole thing. The first thing is that we forgot to say that again, JB saved their ass because he saw the people in the boats in the distance. He said, is there fish, the fishermen out at night? And he's the reason. I mean, they would have went. And then this is what I was alluding to earlier in the episode, where Toranaga again is a genius. Whether he meant to do this or not, I would assume he did mean to do this. Eshidu has a statement where he says, or I guess that his boy said to him, I guess Yabu's not on our side anymore, right? Eshidu thinks he lost Yabu because Yabu went with this, and Yabu had no idea that Toranaga was in there and hiding. Because he even says, if you're going to make plans like this, please let me know. So that makes Eshidu think, all right, guys, sandbag this. We're out. We're out on this guy. So it put Yabu on Toranaga's side and against Eshidu without even allowing Yabu to make that decision himself.
And even better, just to add on to that, Eshidu now doesn't mess with the two Catholic, well, at least specifically Kiyama, who was willing to kill his men and do all these things against behind his back and kill the heretic. We see that all play out later. This is just good. There's a chance the door is open for Eshidu to come to our side now, right? Like, I mean, maybe not because he's anti-Yabu, but as long as the power isn't consolidated amongst the councilmen, that's just good news for our side. And that seems to, like, this was like the best episode in terms of like laying the board and like seeing the advantages for Toranaga actually being on the upper hand than the lower hand. It feels like we're in the best spot politically, at least. And yeah, like, and then you even see the moment when the whole ship race is going on, like Toranaga is such a good dude. Like he even like visibly like or audibly yells like he did it as soon as JB gets through. And I literally just got chills right now. Whenever Toranaga is emotional or like shows anything but like high, just buttoned up respect, I break. I freaking love it because it just shows he's human and he's just the man that, yeah, whatever. But he's like all of his plans coming together. This whole episode just showed his prowess, dude. He's the man.
When they're on the ship race and everything like that, Mariko's like, he's mad, and Thorne's like, yeah, he is, and I freaking love it. And he was all about it. But to go to Ishido now, button heads with the other council members. Kiyama's literally saying, oh, I had the heretic in my possession. Torunaga stole him from me, and you, Ishido, did nothing. So now they're like throwing blame back and forth. They didn't even give a shit. Ishido's like, why are you killing people in my city that I swore to protect and everything like that? So we knew that they weren't 100% on the same team, but now that they're actually butting heads is just like, that's exactly what Torunaga wanted.
I want mutual downfall. And let's just keep talking about that scene for just like another second, because you're right. Like we pretty much laid out everything that happens here. It's them fighting. And then we already brought up Hiramatsu coming in and just being all cheeky, saying like, oh, well, Toranaga
Boy.
retired or resigned from the council. And the Taiko said you need five people to vote. He's like, oh, too bad. I only see four. Like the whole thing had that cheeky undertone that I loved. And now they're gonna have to figure out what to do because they can't impeach him. Because there's nothing to vote on and he resigned. So it just really works out. And then I have a question. Do you guys know why Ono has that curtain there when he is covered up? I thought it was to hide himself.
I think
It
it's
was like,
supposed to be that you're not supposed to go near him or touch him. I really think it's supposed to be to
oh,
protect.
like a.
But at some point in the other episode, he does move the curtain and show us what he looks like to talk to them. But
That's why
that's
if
why
I
I
was
was
a
saying, I'd be like,
Bushido.
oh, get away from me, bro.
Exactly.
Okay, that was a dumb question. I just didn't, but that makes sense. They would have no idea what really causes leprosy. Like, you don't want to touch him. Anything else you want to throw out there, Jimmy, for that scene? The councilman last fighting scene?
No, I think it was perfectly done here. Hiramatsu's a freaking homie.
Okay, so let's take it home. This is the last bucket I have written out, and it's just the coupling of scenes of everything that happens after the successful ship escape. And this just starts with Toranaga saying, take me back to my pilot, which I thought was awesome because he says, JB's my pilot. Like, that was just so
Hell
cool.
yeah.
He's like, I don't need you anymore. We're out of Osaka, so I'm good. So he goes back. There's a couple of conversations that I'm sure we can bring up. And then just to me, like the most endearing scene of all time is just Torunaga and JB, like the diving thing and then like the race. Like that whole thing just made me smile the entire freaking time. But
Yeah.
we can end with that. So I guess the couple of conversations are more important of just right when he gets back onto the ship and the squad is back together.
Yeah. So some of the details, the ship is going to drop Tornaga off at Edo. Tornaga's son will go with Yabu and JB and everybody and go to Ajiro to train the new regime that Tornaga is trying to get going. Tornaga is trying to explain to his son about this whole enemies and friends game that you're playing because the son's like, why don't you trust me? You know, why didn't you tell me all this other stuff? And I guess Tornaga is just trying to teach him a lesson because we learned Tornaga was given away as a hostage when by his father when he was his son. He's, I guess, known this his whole life, so he's trying to pass it on.
It's Theon Greyjoy, man.
Yeah, and just JB, we're talking to Mariko, just talking about the horizon. You know, I was like, this guy's smooth. I feel like he was genuinely talking from the heart, though, when he was talking about the horizon beckoned me. I left my home. I know it was a terrible decision. I feel like he wasn't trying to like win her over. He was just talking from
No.
the heart.
Because if you're trying to win her over, you'd say the opposite of everything he said, pretty
Right.
much.
True.
It was
I said Buntaro is the deadbeat dad. He's the deadbeat dad. Like he knew he
They're
had a kid
both,
on the
yeah.
way and he just like left, whatever. I didn't see that for his character. Like I didn't think he was gonna have two kids in back in Europe, like all that. I didn't expect that. I don't know if I now feel like we should be rooting against him hooking up with Mariko because he has a wife, right? Or he has at least a baby mama. I don't know. But I thought Mariko was gonna be doing the cheating, but it seems like he's gonna be doing the cheating if they hook up.
I thought it was going to be that the end of the story was that she like passed away or something, meaning like the daughter or like the his kids or something, meaning like again, sadly to say, but like freeing him up where he doesn't actually have any family or attachment. It's a powerful conversation because he isn't trying to win her over, like you said, Paul. He is telling her the honest truth. He's like, yo, I'm a POS, man. I mean, I freaking jumped on this boat and rowed away because the horizon beckons me. I don't want kids. I don't want a wife. I want to be free. I don't think at this time he may be like, oh, Mariko, good looking lady, like that kind of stuff in his head, but he's not specifically hitting on her because he also says, like, I'm really sorry about your husband and that kind of stuff. I
Yeah.
think that they're just both being genuine with each other. And that's honestly the start of a good relationship, being
Yeah, it
completely
is.
honest.
I'll root for some adultery if it's that, if it's those two.
Oh my God. Both great looking people. So I honestly forget about this deal that happened sometimes because so much other happened in the episode. But Torunaga confronts JB about his logbook and say piracy punishable by death, but it's going to take forever to translate. So in the
Yeah.
meantime,
Smooth, dude.
yeah,
Smooth.
in the meantime, you're going to train my men in your tactics, teach them everything, how to shoot cannons, blah blah blah. And JB pulls back at first, but he's like, you know what? It would be a great honor. I only ask for my ship and my men in return. So
Red
I don't
flag
know.
for me. That's a red
Yeah.
flag for me. I don't want him to think that he's ditching out as soon as he gets his boys back, because fuck that.
Yeah.
That's
We're
what Japanese now. Like that's
I
what this is.
we ride for Torunaga. Like
Yeah,
what are you doing?
exactly.
So yeah, I'm a little worried. One of you guys was talking about didn't see that side of JB about being real bad. You know, maybe there is a whole other side because his thing was kill all these people, destroy all these churches. And that was the main goal from the get-go. So I don't know if there's going to be a scene in the future where he's like on the ship ready to leave with this crew. And he's like, you know what? I got to turn back. Like, you know, I actually care too much. I want to fight for this guy. That's what I hope to see. But he also gets the name Hatamoto. He's like, I
Yep.
can't be calling this guy a barbarian if he's one of my vassals. So I bestow the name Hatamoto. And Mariko was blown away. She
Hot tomato. It sounded hot tomato.
Hatamoto.
Hatamoto.
Yeah, Hatamoto. And Mariko was like, he just made you Hatamoto. So it wasn't he just gave you a name, he just made you
That is a
Hatamoto. And I
great
was like,
honor.
that's so cool, man.
And Jimmy, before you jump in, the other thing that I already mentioned it briefly, but also, in this conversation, we find out that Yabu's job is going to be to study everything that JB does. Like, just learn his ways, learn their way of war, bring it back. We're going to use this to help take the throne, essentially. So, just a great conversation, plot mover.
Yeah.
I think it puts us all in the right spot, but
Let's go for a swim, man.
Yeah,
yeah,
let's go
and
for a swim.
That shit was so
God.
good, man.
How
Now
did those makeshift undies stay on for all those dives? That's what
Oh,
I want to know, dude.
they saw his undercarriage
Yeah.
100% when he was in the air.
100%. But yeah, that just made me so happy watching that scene where they're gonna do the dive over and over and over and over, and then Torunaga's like, let's race, and America's like, don't let him win. He's like, I wasn't planning on it. It just made me like, what else would you be doing back in that day? Like a race to the shore. It's like nowadays we're like, oh, race to the shore is boring as shit, bro. Now that's probably like the most exciting thing they could think of at that
Right,
time.
for the
I loved it, man. I loved it.
it's so good.
And it does still say a lot about Torunaga. It keeps characterizing him further past the point of just what's being presented to the world. Like, he is a very calculated person. He wants to see this over and over so he can study it and learn it and become the best at it. Like,
Yeah.
that's so Torunaga
He
is
did pretty good
basically
on his
that.
dive. His first ever dive is pretty damn good. I mean, he belly
Yeah.
flopped a little bit, but
7 out of 10, but if he's just watching for the
yeah.
first time, that was solid. Yeah.
I thought
Yeah.
it was amazing. I don't know if it had to go into like the embarrassment aspect if you try it and you don't succeed. I don't know how much that went into it, or if Tornog is just like, hey, I'm just gonna watch, make sure, and then just nail it on the first
Yeah,
try.
what if he
It was
like didn't succeed and then he was like, oh, I'm gonna have to get rid of my whole bloodline now. I'm
Just
embarrassed.
I fucked up the dive. Yeah,
That's
time to end it.
so freaking funny, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's just JB has a line after the second dive. He's like, observational learner, huh? And I'm just cracking up. But I didn't know. I thought this was going to be like borderline punishment for JB's piracy, and he was going to just make him do this over and over again. But now it's Torunaga wanting to learn. And when he's talking to Mariko, she's saying, maybe we can try again tomorrow. He's like, no, tomorrow is tomorrow. I will learn how to dive today. And just he's like, let's go. Oh, God, he's so cool. I would ride for
Love
that
it.
guy
And
so
it's
hard.
on top of all of this that we're talking about, it's still seed planting for friendship, like not just
Yeah.
co-workers, right? This is so awesome. I think if one of them ends up dying, like this is the seed planting of them being able to have an emotional end to the season,
Totally.
because they're forming this bond past just warriors. So all in all, it was just a great way to end an intense action-filled episode with death, and I can't think of complaints about Shogun as a show. Like, through three episodes, it's damn near perfection. The world's catching on. Like, everybody else is talking about it. The podcast is doing numbers. Like, the whole thing. Like, this is just such an experience. I'm trying to not take anything for granted because I know if it is truly a limited one season series, like, we're never going to get more of this. But I'm living in the moment because tomorrow is tomorrow. Like, this is fucking awesome. And I'm all
Shogun
in,
is
man.
today.
Shogun is today. Tomorrow is tomorrow. I'm just all in. I can't wait.
Hi. Dude, I like stood up when Torunaga's like, here we go. And JB's like, hi. I stood up and I just started going, hi, like around the house. This show gets me so emotional, so animated. I love it. Emily's in the room with me as I'm watching, and a scene happens, and I like say something out loud. I'm like, oh my God, that's huge. And all it was is something small, but the show is so good at showing the repercussions and everything it leads to. I'm obsessed after three episodes, like just as you guys are. I'm so happy that this is in our lives right now.
Agreed. You guys nailed it. I don't have anything else to say, man. I'm just enjoying this. How many episodes of this season?
10.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 10.
What'd you say, Paul? 10? All right, cool.
Awesome, awesome.
All right, I like
Are you
that.
about to sign us out?
Yeah. Anything
All
else?
right, so last thing, just go watch Dune Part 2.
Dune's
All
amazing.
right.
Atreides, Atreides.
All right, guys, that was our coverage of episode 3 of Shogun. It was a blast. We're having an awesome time talking about this. We already alluded to this earlier in the episode. If you want to talk to us about Shogun, jump on our Discord. The link's in our description. You can find conversations with us about Shogun on Twitter, on Instagram. We're talking about all over the place, but Discord is where we're having the in-depth conversations. We have almost 200 members in the Discord. We have a lot of conversations about different TV shows going on. We have a general TV section, a general movie section. If we're not having a specific channel for any show you want to talk about, trust us, we'll talk anything with you guys. So jump on there. Otherwise, if you like what you heard, check us out at bingetowntv.com. You could check us out at Bingetown TV on any of your favorite podcast apps. We cover so many different TV shows. I talked about all of that in the intro. You can find all of that at bingetowntv.com or on our main Bingetown TV feed. I guess that's it, guys. Today, is Shogun. Tomorrow's not Shogun. Next week, Shogun. We'll be back. We can't wait. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thank you so much for listening.